would experience the Lord's Supper through all five of our senses: smell, sight, hearing, touch, and taste. But before we continue any further in this worship service, let us search our hearts and pray for God to show up any areas in our lives which we need to surrender. Today, we take time to prepare our hearts and minds for the special events. As we do, pause and we reflect and remember our Savior's love as presented in the bread and the cup. Now, let's just remain in silence for a few moments and consider the love so freely given to us by our Lord. And when you think about the blood that was shed at Calvary, just substitute your name in there for what he did for you.
We experience the Lord's Supper through the sense of sight. We remember the certainty of purpose for our Lord Jesus by looking at the distinct phrase printed on this banner, King of Kings. This phrase is taken from Revelation 19:16, and it reminds us that Christ has supreme power over all the earth. He left his throne in heaven and came to earth to restore a relationship between us and the Father, which we, through our sin, had severed. The style of the font used has the characteristic of both a traditional and yet modern appeal. This indicates that his authority is not limited by the time, but he is King and Lord of all generations. The burgundy red color of the banner reminds us of his royalty and how even death and hell must submit to his authority. This banner gives us confidence in knowing that he is unquestionably worthy. He has earned the position of King and Lord. The color of the banner also reminds us that our sins can only be forgiven through the shedding of blood. We can better understand his love for us when we realize that, even though he had all the rights and privileges of King and Lord, he willingly left his throne to come to earth and be the sacrifice for our sins. How can we look at this visual display and not be moved to tears and gratitude for his unselfish act of love? Today, as we look at these banners, we pause, reflect, and remember the tremendous sacrifice Christ made for us.
We experience the Lord's Supper through the sense of hearing. The young mother sat quietly in the house and listened to the tap, tap, tap of her son's hammer against the nail and the wood as he worked in the tool shed with his father. She listened as her husband patiently taught her son the skills which would one day allow the boy to assume the family business of being a carpenter. She listened as each crisp, metallic stroke brought the boy closer and closer to becoming the man he would one day need to be. She listened as the boy received instructions from his father on how to drive the nail straight and true so that the structure they were building would remain strong. She listened as the hammering finally stopped, and then she listened as her little boy shouted with glee, "Look, Father, it is finished." Many years later, she listened. And once again, she heard the tap, tap, tap of the hammer against the nail. And as she listened, she heard her son, no longer a boy, but a man, say, "It is finished." Today, as we listen, we pause, reflect, and remember the sorrow of a mother and the generosity of a Savior.
We experience the Lord's Supper through the sense of smell. Can you smell the sweet aroma in the air? The candles that fill this room. The aroma, more specifically, the burning incense, played a significant role in the Old Testament times. It was so significant that God even gave specific instructions to Moses about the ingredients that should be used on the altar for burning incense. God was quite specific about when it should be burned and by whom. We find in several places in the Bible that the primary purpose for burning incense was an atonement for the sins of God's people. In Numbers chapter 16, the Lord became very angry with the children of Israel, and he sent a plague to kill them. He held back the full fury of his wrath, however, when Aaron offered a sacrifice of incense to atone for the sins of Israel. In the New Testament, we find where incense was one of the gifts given to Christ by the Magi who came to worship him. However, the most significant reference to incense as it relates to Christians today is found in Ephesians 5:2, where we find that Christ is said to be the fragrant offering and sacrifice presented to God for us. This verse reminds us that just as the incense was offered up in the Old Testament for the atonement of sins, so too Christ has been offered up as a fragrant offering on our behalf. Today, through the fragrance that fills the sanctuary from these candles, we pause, reflect, and remember that Christ is the atonement for all of our sin.
Now, as we begin to prepare and as we get to the point of observing the Lord's Supper, we're going to include two more senses. The touch, where you're going to physically handle and touch bread. And then you're also going to include another sense. It's taste through the cup. Today, what I want to make sure we're doing is, as we're looking at the entire service, just to pause, stop, to reflect. We live in a day and age where it's so busy, and it's almost awkward to sit so quietly and sit so still. It's hard to sometimes just, we need to just take a moment. And this becomes almost uncomfortable for us. But what we're doing today is reflecting so that we can celebrate and get ready for Resurrection Sunday. This is Palm Sunday. This is the week in which I love celebrating the Lord's Supper on this day, because this is the week in which Jesus himself observed the Lord's Supper and he gave it to the church before he was crucified. Next Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, and we get to celebrate, and something very unique happens next week. Next week, the Eastern calendars and the Western calendars actually align, and Easter is on the same day for both the Eastern calendar and the Western calendars. It's an amazing event. And this year, we're celebrating, so what I want to do is take just the next couple minutes, and I want to make sure we understand the importance of the Lord's Supper. Quite often what we do is we put the Lord's Supper into the mix of a message or in the mix of a service, and we don't stop, pause, reflect. We don't take it as serious as we need to. So in just a few moments, here's what I would like to do. I would like to take you back to the passage that was read just a minute ago, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you have your bulletins, I'm going to give you a few notes just to make sure you understand and see what we're doing here. In 1 Corinthians, the Corinthian church was an interesting church. They were filled with problems. They were filled with fighting, arguing, filled with gross and hideous sins that nobody ever confronted. And it just allowed it to continue to go on. And in 1 Corinthians, they even had gotten, we find this letter that Paul writes to the Corinthian church. We find that they even had taken the Lord's Supper and had extended it to a party time. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, here's what you find as you begin to see how that the Corinthian church, they would come together and they were celebrating the Lord's Supper. But what they were doing is the rich would bring all types of food and they would have lots to eat. They would have more than enough to eat, and they would even get drunk while they were celebrating the Lord's Supper, while the poor didn't have anything to eat. And it began to cause conflict and problems within the church, because rich were celebrating, but yet the poor were not able to celebrate. And the Lord's Supper is not meant to segregate. It's meant to bring unity to the church. It's meant to demonstrate that this gift of salvation is not for a certain type or a certain class, but it's for all people. No matter rich, poor, no matter your ethnic background, it's for all people. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says, I want to warn you and I want to share with you what I've received. This comes from Jesus Christ. So he says it in verse 23, and here's what he's going to say. He said, Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. In verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So why do we need to take the Lord's Supper? What is the Lord's Supper about? What does it do for us? The first thing is that the Lord's Supper, it's a symbol. It's a symbol for you and I to remember. He gives us two symbols. He gives us the symbol of bread and the symbol of the cup. Now, why does he give bread? You're going to be holding bread in just a moment. The bread is very soft, and usually it's an unleavened bread. And the unleavened bread would be this is a tortilla. It means Mexican food's holy, I guess, right? I like Mexican food, so that's a good thing. But it's an unleavened bread. It's just flour mixed with no leaven. And the reason you use an unleavened bread is so that it would demonstrate that Jesus was pure, holy. Leaven in the Bible is always considered a type of sin. And so Jesus took the bread, and he says something very interesting. He says, this is to represent, it's a symbol to represent my body and what's going to happen. And at this point, the disciples had no idea what was going to happen in just a few hours. But he gives this sign, and what he does is he begins to what? Tear it. He says, this is what's going to happen. And this is a symbol for you to remember. As you touch, as you take, and as you hold it in your hand, this is a symbol to remind you that the body of Jesus Christ is going to be torn. This is extremely important for us because sometimes we get into a place where we just radically just run through this and say, oh, this is just important. We just run through it and we don't take the time to remember that Jesus was 100% God and he's also 100% man, which means he felt the pain of the cross. This was a replica of a whip that quite often was used during the Roman time, during that time period. Somebody gave this to me as a gift and said, to show it off, and you hold it, and you kind of begin to understand a little bit of the pain that would happen. You could hit cardboard box, and when you would hit cardboard box, it actually takes chunks immediately out of the cardboard. It's fascinating to see. But then when you began to understand, wait a minute, it wasn't hitting a cardboard box, it was hitting the actual body and ripping chunks out. When you hold the bread, it's to remind you that Jesus felt every bit of the pain. His body was broken and torn for us. There's a crown of thorns. Have you ever touched a thorn? A rose bush? Maybe you picked up a rose bush and our flower and you wanted to hand it hurts. Can you imagine the actual crown of thorns being placed on his head? He felt it. And what we are to do is the bread is a symbol to remind us of the body that was torn. Then it also gives us another symbol, it's the cup. Quite often what we do is when we take these cups are cheap, they're plastic, and maybe we just kind of run through it. This cup is worth about $1,500 that I'm holding. So don't come try to break into my office. It's not going to be in there, all right? It's a chalice. And sometimes what we maybe just need to remember is that what it holds and what it represents is something more valuable than just a plastic cup or just some kind of grape juice. You see, what it represents is the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you and me. It's priceless. It's perfect. And without the shedding of blood, you could not ever have forgiveness throughout the entire Old Testament system. What we have is this. You have lambs sacrificed every week, every year. You'd come to this Passover time, and there would be hundreds of thousands of lambs that were neighing and ewing out in the fields, and they were going to be killed this week. Hundreds of thousands of lambs. The blood would be shed. And what we find now is this, because of Jesus and his death on the cross, Hebrews tells us it was one sacrifice given for all time, where we don't have to repeat it over and again. But what we are called to do is to remember the priceless blood that was shed for you and I. We continue and we see that it's not only a symbol, it's a reminder. What is it a reminder of? It says, this do in what? Remembrance of me. You are to remember. It's to remind us. It's a statement of faith. The Lord's Supper is a statement of faith saying, this is what I believe. I believe that Jesus is perfect. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross to pay for my sins. It's a statement of faith. I believe this. It's also a holistic expression of my faith. You see, today we've combined all the senses. We're also combining the sense of taste and touch in just a minute. You're combining at this moment when we remember. We're remembering the past. In the present, we're remembering it now. For the future, that Jesus Christ is coming again. You're remembering it all. He's tying it all together in this moment. It's a holistic expression. So here's a question for you. How often do we need to take of the Lord's Supper? Isn't that a great question? If this is so important, it's so important to the church, how often should we take this? Let me give you what the Bible says. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. So how often did it say? It didn't, did it? Kind of left it open-ended. So some churches want to celebrate it only once a year. Some churches celebrate it only a few times a year. Some churches celebrate it once a week. It doesn't give us an exact amount. But here's what Paul is trying to walk us through in this chapter. He says, you need to remember it as often as you do. You need to remember it enough that you keep the main thing the main thing. What's the main thing? Jesus. What's the main thing for the church? It's Jesus. What's the main thing for the church? Okay, I got a couple people going with me. What's the main thing for the church? What's the main thing for the church? You got it now. The main thing is the main thing. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we got to come back to over and over again. So the main thing is, and that's what we want to make sure we keep remembering and putting it in front of us. We should not do it so often that this becomes commonplace. That this becomes just something that we just walk through and do, and that, oh, that's just something we do so quickly that it becomes commonplace, because that is exactly what the Corinthian church was doing, that this was just commonplace. So who should take of the Lord's Supper? Verse 27, it says, whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Because it's about remembering, you can only remember what you first experienced. You cannot remember what you have not experienced. You see, I could tell you stories of my childhood, but you wouldn't remember those because those aren't yours. Those are mine. And if I'm going to remember what Jesus has done for me, first of all, I have to experience the salvation of Jesus Christ myself. If you're not saved, this will not save you. We say that quite often, but we need to make sure we understand. This is about your relationship with Jesus Christ and what he's done. You're remembering what he's done for you. So verse 28 tells us something very important. It says, let a person examine himself. So how do I prepare? How do I prepare for the Lord's Supper? How do you prepare for the Lord's Supper? It first starts with making sure that you're right with God. You have to be right with God. What does that look like? One, it's salvation. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're not right with God. Because the blood of Jesus Christ actually covers your sins, pays for your sins, and makes you in good standing with God. Starts with salvation. Second of all, how do you get right with God? Can you actually be saved and not be right with God? You can. You can actually have sin in your life in which you are unwilling to confess. And that's not being right with God. You can be saved, but be living in sin. And what this calls us to do, the Lord's Supper calls us to remember what Jesus has done and calls us to make sure we examine ourselves to make sure we're right with God. It also says examine yourself. There's one other area that you have to examine. That's the human relationships. To make sure you're right with people. Have you ever wondered why this is so important? It's so important that Jesus says if you're going to come and give an offering, if you're going to give an offering to the church, to God, he says, don't come and have something against your brother. If you have something in your heart in which you're mad and frustrated and you're bitter and you're upset at somebody else and you're upset with them, he says, leave your gift and leave and go get it right with them. It's so important that for you and I, as we stand here today, we have to make sure we've done this. We have to make sure that we've done everything to be reconciled with someone else. If you are not right, whether with your spouse or with somebody else, your kids, somebody in the church, and you have not done your part to be reconciled with them, to make things right, then what it means is this: you probably should not partake because you're not ready to partake. Let me show you why this looks so important. Let me show you this and we'll be, it says verse 29, for anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. You bring judgment on who? Yourself. Verse 30. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. Time out. Whoop, did you see that? He says, because some of you haven't done the work of actually getting right with God, you haven't examined yourself, and you're just taking this as a commonplace thing. He says, that is why God's judgment actually comes on you, and you actually are feeling sick, you're ill, and some of you have even died. Now, we don't really talk that way, do we? And quite often, we just kind of work through this moment, and we just, that's no big deal. But there's a strong movement in your life and in my life to actually be right with God and right with people. You see, as we remember what Jesus has done for us, it calls us to get right with others. Let me help you with understanding this. I'm just mad and I'm frustrated with somebody. That bitterness, it's a root of bitterness, and it's called to actually get it out. You're called to cut it out. Jesus, in his prayer that he teaches us, what does he say about forgiveness? Forgive others as you have been what? Forgiven. You forgive others and you give that to others the way Jesus forgives. How often does Jesus forgive you? I wish I didn't blow it as much as I do, right? He forgives constantly, constantly. He forgives. And we are to forgive others. And then as we leave and we go out, I want to go back to one last thing, verse 26. It says, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You're proclaiming the Lord's death. Part of who you are is when you say, this is who I am. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. You are an ambassador, a missionary, to go out and share what God has done for you until he comes. At this moment, I'm going to ask the men to come forward and help us begin to prepare. Our deacon's going to begin to come forward. We give you, again, just a couple moments. Make sure you're right. Make sure everything's settled with you and God. And then just celebrate the simple fact that Jesus has forgiven you. As the men begin to pass the bread, I'm going to ask that you just hang on to it. Hold it for just a moment. You're touching and you're experiencing right now at the moment. You're just saying, thank you, Jesus, for the blood, or for the body, your body that was broken for us. You'll notice as we begin to pass, there's an element and a symbol going on that's of service. You see, as believers, man, you may go ahead and pass the plates. As believers, we are called to serve each other. And as the deacons serve you, then I get to serve the deacons. Christ has called us to a life of service. And that's what we're trying to demonstrate as well here, is because of what Jesus has done, we now get to live a life of service. Take the bread, remember what his body was torn and broken for you. Matthew chapter 26, verse 26, it says, now as they were eating, Jesus took bread and after blessing it, he broke it and gave to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. You may now take of the bread. Matthew 26 continues. He says, and he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for the many for the forgiveness of sins. You may now take of the cup. Jesus continues and says, I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. What an incredible promise of hope that Jesus is coming again and that this is not the end. But yet one day we will spend all eternity with him forever. And until that day comes, we call to remember what he's done and then to go out as his ambassadors, his missionaries, to share what an incredible love.